My sisters and brothers, the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his great glory, and all the angels with him, he'll sit upon his glorious throne, and all the nations will be assembled before him. And he'll separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. He'll place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. Naked, and you clothed me. Ill, and you cared for me. In prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him and say, 'Lord, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say to them in reply, 'Amen, amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of the least sisters or brothers of mine, you did for me.' Then he'll say to those on the left, 'Depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. A stranger, and you gave me no welcome. Naked, and you gave me no clothing. Ill and in prison, and you did not care for me.' Then they'll answer and say, 'Lord, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or ill or in prison and not minister to your needs?' And he'll answer them, 'Amen, I say to you, what you did not do for one of these least ones, you did not do for me.' And these will go off to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." The gospel of the Lord.
Amen.
First, I want to give praise and honor to God who is so good, God who is King of the universe, King of our hearts. That's right, let's give him a hand clap of praise, because the King is in our midst, in his word and in the sacrament. And when he's in our midst, I'm going to ask the choir to help me. We just got to praise him, amen? So let's start out by praising him. Praise him. That's right. Praise him. Praise him. Jesus, blessed Let's do that again. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Jesus, blessed Savior. is. Oh, yes, he is, church. You know that. He's worthy to be praised. He's our King. Praise him. Praise him. Yes. Praise him. Praise him. Jesus, blessed Savior, he's worthy to be praised. I don't care what you're going through. He's worthy to be praised. Turn to the person next to you and say, he's worthy to be praised. That's right. Our God is an awesome God. He's the King of the universe and the King of our hearts. And you know, I am so glad for this feast. We in this Thanksgiving weekend, and I say at Thanksgiving, that every day, hello, is a day of Thanksgiving. Amen, church. We know we have so much to be thankful for. And it's the same with this feast of Christ the King. You know, sometimes God makes straight crooked ways. And I don't know if you know how this feast came about. But you see, the Pope one time was an earthly ruler also. And he had a large amount of land called the Papal States. And unfortunately, his military prowess wasn't all that good, and he lost everything he had. And so to show that he still had power, he decided that every church would celebrate this feast of Christ the King and pledge allegiance, thinking that this would look good on him. But it looks good on Jesus. Yeah. Amen, church. See, God took the machinations of somebody looking for his own glory and helped us to understand how we need to give God the glory. Amen? Yeah. At all times. And so this morning, as I come, I just want to say that we can get confused. We can get lost as to what we celebrate. We're not just celebrating one day for an hour and a half or 2 hours. So you're probably saying, I hope it's not 2 hours, but we're just not celebrating. But really what we're doing is focusing. That we need to make Jesus our King at all times. Turn to the person next to you and say, Jesus is my King. And what that means is he's the ruler of my heart. He's the one who comes first. He's the one on whom I stand, and all my life is centered on him. Jesus is my King. And we're in a season. And the world is telling us that there's so many other ways to happiness. Well, there's only one way to happiness. There's only one way that we come to understand ourselves, and that is through Christ our King. Amen, church? We're entering a season as we had Black Friday, and praise God. I mean, many times when you hear the word black, it's in a pejorative way, but in this one, it's in a good way. Let's give God a hand clap of praise for that alone. But what we move into is that there's lots of ways that you can find happiness. You know, this is a season to remember if you get a certain car. Well, it's only a season to remember if you can name Christ as your Savior. It's a season to remember if you get a certain stone that you give your loved one. It could be a diamond, an emerald, a ruby, a pearl, or something. But it's on Christ the solid rock we stand. All other ground is, oh, you can have those other things, but you got to understand who you are and whose you are. You got to understand how important it is to be grounded and to know that Christ is our Savior all by himself. Everything else falls short. And so today, as we celebrate that, sometimes people will say to me, they'll say, well, what does it take to get into heaven? What must I do? And you know, sometimes people will say, well, you have to go to Leviticus and Deuteronomy and read all the laws. Forget those laws. I mean, they're important. But some will say, look at the Ten Commandments, or some will say, look at the Beatitudes. But what I'll say is, look at Matthew chapter 25. Because in Matthew chapter 25, there are three stories, and you've had them the last 3 weeks. There are three stories, and at the end, there's great celebration and jubilation if people understand that Christ is their king. If people are ready for Christ to be the king, turn to the person next to you and say, are you ready? Say, we need to be ready, not just one day a year, but every day to make Christ our king. And so let me look. I love Matthew 25. In fact, I had a parishioner last night who came out of church, and I was talking about Matthew 25, and he said, oh, Matthew 25. He said, wait till I tell people, they'll think that I'm a holiness person. But we as Catholics need to understand the Word of God. And Matthew 25 is an important passage. And 2 weeks ago, you got this story about the 10 virgins. And I'm going to take a little bit of time with each one of these, if you don't mind. You had this story about the 10 virgins. And what happens is that five of them were foolish and five wise. And we might think, oh, we're the wise. But sometimes I think we're wise. And sometimes we're foolish. But here's the difference. Here's the wise ones weren't focused on themselves. They were focused on Jesus. Turn to the person next to you and say, you gotta be focused on Jesus. And secondly, the wise ones didn't look to cut corners. They didn't say, what's the minimum that I have to do? How long do I have to be here? Rather, they said, what can I do? I'm going to meet the king. I'm going to meet the bridegroom. I'm going to meet the bride. I want to lift them up. And see, when you put the focus on God, God welcomes you and you celebrate. That's how you get redemption. That's how you make it into the kingdom of God. It's about recognizing Jesus. It's about recognizing, not just for a quick moment. All of them did for a quick moment, but then many didn't plan. Many were focused more on themselves. And so that first story reminds us that bridegroom is Jesus. He's the king. And so our hearts have to cry out, and the choir can help me on this. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noontime. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus when the sun goes down. Let's do that one more time. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus in See, you gotta praise him in the morning. Gotta praise him in the noontime. Gotta praise him when the sun goes down. You're not always in church at those times. Jesus when the sun goes down. Amen. And so then, let me move on to the second one. The second one, the master. The master comes and he gives his servants different amounts, and he gives no instructions, which is really important because we don't really have instructions. Oh, we have some laws and some guidelines, but my life, what's your name, is different than his. He's much younger and energetic, and so the people he meets are going to be different. And what's your name? And sure, all three of our lives are different, and yet God is calling us. And what happens is, see, we need to have a personal relationship with Jesus. We need to have, that's not a Protestant term, that's a Catholic term. You need to have a relationship with Jesus. Turn to the person next to you and say, you need a relationship with Jesus. And say, because God doesn't give it, but see, if we have instructions, I don't know how many people are in relationships right now, but many, if you're in a relationship, you don't have to wait for the person that you love to tell you what they want. Many times you know what they want. You know their needs even before they ask you, amen, church? And see, when we're in a relationship with Jesus, when we take time to listen to Jesus, when we take time to experience his love and concern for us, it makes all the difference in the world. We don't need an instruction to guide me. This is what I have to do, and this isn't what I have to do. And so those first two servants, they understood who the master was, who the king of the universe was. And they went out and they invested in love and compassion and forgiveness and hope and faith. And then when they came back, when the master came back, they were ready because they understood what the master is all about. Now the third one, notice this, he didn't do anything bad. The problem is he didn't do anything. God doesn't call us not to do something. He puts us here on earth to do his holy will. He puts us here on earth to be God, Jesus, to one another. He puts us here so that we can be the body of Christ. Amen? Amen. And so what happened with the third is he buried, and then he gave it back without ever using the opportunities that can. Sometimes we do that. Opportunities come into our life where we can give God the glory by reaching out to someone around us, by helping someone, by bringing God's love, by bringing God's forgiveness, by bringing God's hope. That's what Jesus, as King of the world, is all about. And so God is calling us to have this relationship so that all the time we know what the Master wants. And what he wants, as I said, with the three of us, it's totally different for all of us here because our circumstances, our situations are different. But God is asking us to be in that relationship with who? Jesus. With who? Jesus. And so our hearts cry out, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noontime. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus when the sun goes down. Let's do love him. Love him. Love, and you love him by loving one another. Oh yes, it's not you're just standing in church. We come into church to be nourished so we can go out and bring Jesus to one another. Love him. Love him when the sun goes down. And now we come to the parable you heard today. This is the most famous of them. This is Matthew 25, in case you want to be able to quote it, 31 to 45. And what happens is God holds us accountable. Turn to the person next to you and say, God holds you accountable. You see, sometimes we think, oh, well, and what happens is the Son of Man, which is God, which is Jesus, who is our King, comes back and he separates and he says, I was hungry and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was ill and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. And they're kind of scratching their heads saying, I don't remember doing this to Jesus. But when you do it to someone, Pope Francis tells us we need to smell like the sheep. And so when we do it to someone who's out there struggling a little, suffering a little, and we do some feeding, we do some nourishing, I was hungry. Look at our world today. People are hungry. And not just, I mean, in our parish we get over 100 Thanksgiving baskets. And then we had a Thanksgiving dinner, but that's one form, but people are hungry for meaning, for spiritual life. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. And notice in the very beginning of this gospel, it said he gathered the nations. I think our nation needs to do a little soul searching here. We say we're a Christian nation. Hello. He says, I was a stranger and you welcomed me. We just had last week 60,000 Haitians being sent back to the poorest country in the Western. Somehow that doesn't fit in with what Jesus is telling us to do. We were talking about building a wall and making the ban. We need to get a message somewhere maybe about 150 miles south of here. And then we talk about thirst. And it, we might say, well, certainly we can think of Detroit and the water system, but how about our children? How about our children who thirst for education and there's nothing there for them because people are not responding? And then we talk about the ill, and in a certain sense we could say, well, who are the ill? And I'm sure you know ill, and it might just take a phone call to show care and concern. And some of the ill that we have, we throw into prison. They're called addicted. They're not criminals, they're sick. And we don't take care of them like we should. And sometimes it says visit those in prison. Sometimes that prison may not be behind bars. It might be seniors who live behind their own locked doors because they're afraid to come out. And God is asking us somehow to reach out. And then what he says to those, he says, I was hungry, you didn't give me. Thirsty, you didn't give me drink. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. And they said, when, Lord? It's almost like I'll do for someone who'll do for me. But God, like Pope Francis is telling us, is that we got to smell like the sheep. We got to go out into our neighborhood, sometimes maybe even to our families, to see the spiritual need, the hope that we can bring, because that's what Jesus, the King of Kings, wants from us. Our God wants us to bring his love into the world. Our God wants us to bring his compassion into the world. Our God wants us to bring his hope into the world. Our God wants us to bring his empathy into the world. Our God wants us to bring his forgiveness into the world, where today so much is concerned about me. God is calling us to reach out to brothers and sisters. That's why this feast is so important. Because we keep hearing what's in it for me. But rather, God is calling us. As we break this bread, and he'll say, do this in memory. And what is it? It's bringing that love. It's feeding, it's nourishing, it's visiting the sick, it's taking care of the ill. That's what Jesus did. And if we acknowledge him as our King, that's what you and I must do. And so we come here to be strengthened because we can be beaten up by materialistic society and by others' philosophy, but there's only one philosophy that brings life, and that's Jesus. And that's why our hearts in this feast of Christ the King, help me out one last time. Jesus, Jesus,
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noontime, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus when the sun goes down. Love him, love him, love.
And you love him in the person next to you. You love him in the person who's hungry. You love him in the person who's ill. You love him in the person who feels hopeless or in prison beside some kind of despair. Goes now, serve him.
Serve him. Serve him. Serve him.
And do it all the time. Not just when you're in the confines of the sacred place, but when you take the sacred place and you take the Christ that's in you to the world around us. That's why we cry out one more time, Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noontime, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus when the sun goes down.